Part 1. The Devil's Plaything. The Count of Berat was old, pious, and learned. He had lived 65 years, and liked to boast he had not left his fiefdom for the last 40 of them. His stronghold was the great castle of Berat. It stood on a limestone hill above the town of Berat, which was almost surrounded by the river Berat that made the county of Berat so fertile. There were olives, grapes, pears, plums, barley, and women. The count liked them all. He had married 5 times, each new wife younger than the last, but none had provided him with a child. He had not even spawned a bastard on a milkmaid, though, God knew, it was not for lack of trying. That absence of children had persuaded the count that God had cursed him, and so in his old age he had surrounded himself with priests. The town had a cathedral and 18 churches, with a bishop, canons, and priests to fill them. And there was a house of Dominican friars by the east gate. The count blessed the town with 2 new churches and built a convent high on the western hill across the river and beyond the vineyards. He employed a chaplain and, at great expense, he purchased a handful of the straw that had lined the manger in which the baby Jesus had been laid at his birth. The count encased the straw in crystal, gold, and gems, and placed the reliquary on the altar of the castle's chapel and prayed to it each day. But even that sacred talisman did not help. His 5th wife was 17 and plump and healthy and, like the others, barren. At first, the count suspected that he had been cheated in his purchase of the holy straw, but his chaplain assured him that the relic had come from the papal place at Avignon and produced a letter signed by the Holy Father himself guaranteeing that the straw was indeed the Christ child's bedding. Then the count had his new wife examined by 4 eminent doctors, and those worthies decreed that her urine was clear, her parts whole, and her appetites healthy. And so the count employed his own learning in search of an heir. Hippocrates had written of the effect of pictures on conception, and so the count ordered a painter to decorate the walls of his wife's bedchamber with pictures of the Virgin and child. He ate red beans and kept his rooms warm. Nothing worked. It was not the count's fault, he knew that. He had planted barley seeds in 2 pots and watered one with his new wife's urine and one with his own, and both pots had sprouted seedlings, and that, the doctors said, proved that both the count and countess were fertile. Which meant, the count had decided, that he was cursed. So he turned more avidly to religion, because he knew he did not have much time left. Aristotle had written that the age of 70 was the limit of a man's ability, and so the count had just 5 years to work his miracle. Then, one autumn morning, though he did not realize it at the time, his prayers were answered. Churchmen came from Paris. 3 priests and a monk arrived at Berat, and they brought a letter from Louis Bessières, Cardinal and Archbishop of Livorno, papal legate to the court of France, and the letter was humble, respectful, and threatening. It requested that Brother Jerome, a young monk of formidable learning, be allowed to examine the records of Berat. "It is well known to us," the Cardinal Archbishop had written in elegant Latin, "that you possess a great love of all manuscripts, both pagan and Christian, and so entreat you for the love of Christ and for the furtherance of his kingdom to allow our brother Jerome to examine your muniments." Which was fine so far as it went. For the Count of Berat did indeed possess a library and a manuscript collection that was probably the most extensive in all Gascony, if not in all southern Christendom. But what the letter did not make clear was why the Cardinal Archbishop was so interested in the castle's muniments. As for the reference to pagan works, that was a threat. "Refuse this request," the Cardinal Archbishop was saying, "and I shall set the holy dogs of the Dominicans and the Inquisitors onto your county, and they will find that the pagan works encourage heresy." Then the trials and the burnings would begin, neither of which would affect the Count directly, but there would be indulgences to buy if his soul was not to be damned.